welcome to a new edition of Mercenary Musings Radio featuring mining analyst and commodities expert, the mercenary geologist, Mickey Folk. We are your most trusted source for in-depth analysis and commentary on commodities, mining, and the junior resource sector. And joining us for the very first time on Mercenary Musings Radio in 2019 is the mercenary geologist himself, Mickey Folk. Mickey, how's the year been treating you so far?
Well, it's been pretty good, Rob. All the markets are up first 3 weeks of the year. U.S. markets, the biggest rise since 1987. Toronto Venture Exchange is quickly recovering from tax loss selling, so it's all good.
Yeah, off to a great start from the point of view of being an investor. We're going to kick off the new year, Mickey, though, by dispelling what you say is a doom and gloom view of the earth. And the fact that some people believe we're going to be running out of natural resources. There are two groups in this debate. Mickey, you are firmly in the camp that is called the cornucopian camp. I think you're a cornucopian, actually, with a capital C, aren't you?
Well, absolutely. As a geologist and a capitalist and a optimist, basic philosophies of life, you must be a cornucopian.
Mm-hmm. The other camp, the Malthusians, they believe we're living on borrowed time concerning the supply of natural resources. They've been saying this, though, for a long time, Mickey, way back, from the 18th, 19th centuries? You know, they've been crying the blues, saying that we're living on borrowed time. You're not buying into that at all, though.
Well, absolutely not. They've been proven wrong time and time again. Mm-hmm. It's all started with a cleric, a philosopher, professor type, Thomas Malthus, mm-hmm. and something around the turn of the 18th to 19th century, comes out and he says something: when the world's population hits a billion people, we're going to run out of food, and we're going to have famine and disease and war and scarcity and catastrophic cultural and societal declines leading to extinction of the species. And this, these sorts of pessimistic, glass half empty sort of views have been going around ever since then. And they've been proven wrong time and time again.
Okay, well, let's take a look at this issue, Mickey, first through crude oil. You wrote in the Musings just last month that oil is the most important natural resource exploited by man. There's been a lot written about so-called peak oil, the theory that, you know, we're going to be running out of oil very soon. There's no arguing the fact, Mickey, that our demand and our thirst for crude oil continues to rise annually. There's tons of the stuff out there. We're nowhere close to running out, are we?
Absolutely not, Rob. You know, the oil demand in the world's gone up an annualized 4.7% per year since 1900. And we keep finding more and we keep extracting more. And, you know, we've got 500 million years of sedimentary rocks that have potential for oil, and we've really just scratched the surface. 70% of all the oil in fields that have currently been discovered remains in the ground. Mm-hmm. So, you know, this was a very popular idea once again in around 2010, and I got in some vehement arguments from these pessimistic Malthusian types, and look at what we got now. 9 years later, we have a global glut of oil. We've got OPEC cutting production to preserve prices from cratering once again. U.S., which reached its first peak in 1970, as predicted by a famous geologist named King Hubbert in 1956, he said U.S. oil production would peak in 1970. It did. It took us 47 years to exceed that, 10 million barrels a day. But as of last week, we now produce 11.9 million barrels of oil a day in the U.S. We're going to average more than 12 million barrels a day. That's 20% over the peak in 1970.
Part of the story, too, Mickey, is technological advances. We are now able to get oil out of the earth in ways that were just not possible 10, 15, 20 years ago, correct?
Well, that's a lot about what this whole cornucopian philosophy is all about. It's that when resources become scarce, prices will rise. with a higher value, that makes more marginal deposits of anything economic. It drives exploration where more will be found, developed, and produced. We've got recycling that can help. We've got new technologies. And if push comes
to shove,
push comes to shove, pardon me, we'll develop substitutes.
Okay, let's move on to the metals market, Mickey. The bottom line for your side of the story concerning peak oil, you're calling it a bunch of malarkey, I believe. Is it a bunch of malarkey when it comes to iron and gold as well?
Iron, gold, and copper. Okay. You know, iron ore has grown at 2.9% per year annualized since 1904. We have 600 million years of iron formations that we know that there are immense quantities of iron ore. A lot of those are too low grade right now or too deep or perhaps too remote. But right now, according to USGS, we have 330 years of resources, known resources ahead of us. And once again, we've just scratched the surface. Copper, annualized growth is 3.2% mined per year since 1900. USGS estimates right now we have 280 years of known resources. Mm-hmm. And once again, as things get scarcer, the history of metals mining or any kind of mining on Earth has been one of mining lower grades, mining deeper, mining at lower constant dollar prices, and there's no little reason to think that won't continue.
Okay, so just like iron, I think you wrote that concerning copper, there are thousands of known drilled out copper deposits in the world, but because of current prices right now, and that's one part of the story, and because of the grade and whatnot, they're just not economically feasible or viable to go down and get that copper. One day it will be, though, and we've got lots of it there.
Well, that's true, and we developed a new technology in the early 1970s to process copper oxide deposits. So copper oxide deposits, which were essentially not a resource until in the 1970s, now supplies something on the order of 20% of the copper, 15 to 20% of the copper per year. So once again, technology develops. Same with gold deposits. Gold, 98% of the gold that's ever been mined is still available on the planet because of essentially 100% recycling because of its value and its scarcity. But in the 1980s, let's say from the mid-70s to the mid-80s, we reach a plateau of gold production. And then what comes along? A new technology, heap leaching and cyanide extraction with heap leaches. And all of a sudden, gold production goes exponential once again.
Why did we have Ian Telfer from Goldcorp then saying back in, what was it, 2018, I believe, that as far as he was concerned, we had reached peak gold and they had all the gold out there that was worth mining had already been found.
Well, I think he's full of so much fluff. You know, we mined more gold last year than we ever mined before, 3,150 tons. We've been on an exponential rise since the price turned around in 2003 for world gold production. I think what he's talking about is the big gold miners who run a growth industry. Mm-hmm. Mining is not a growth industry. Mining is a value industry. They run flawed business models, and they found they can't find any more good gold deposits, but certainly lots of other companies have. You know, I think that's probably the reason that Newmont and Goldcorp merged or have announced their merger, right. And we have Barrick merging with Randgold. They can't replace their reserves and continue to grow, but the gold mining industry as a whole continues to grow.
Okay, let's turn the clock back even further, Mickey. In 2010, I believe, was the date for this. You were asked during an interview on BNN Television, Business News Network, has the Earth ever run out of any natural resource? What is the answer to that question?
Well, as a cornucopian, most people would think I would have said no, but I said, yes, I can think of one, and it's bird guano. So All the bird guano in the world was first discovered in the 1830s off the, with these immense deposits off the coast of southern Peru. And the English, as they're wont to do, made deals with the Peruvian government at the time, and they extracted in a period of about 40 years. The world depleted its bird guano deposits. Now, bird guano was shipped to England and Europe and resulted in bountiful crops because it's so rich in phosphates and nitrogen right. And metal nutrients. But we mined that out. We essentially depleted those resources. And those are non-renewable because these bird guano deposits, up to 40 meters thick, had been accumulating for millions of years, and we mined them out and by the mid-1870s. So somewhere around 35 years, they were mined out. So what did we do? Well, we went to northern Chile, and we found nitrate deposits in the Atacama Desert that completely replaced bird guano for fertilizer. And by World War I, the Germans developed a way to fix atmospheric nitrogen, mm-hmm. And make nitrates. So we no longer use the nitrate deposits. They still are mined, but they are a very minor part of the fertilizer industry. And quite frankly, there are still hand miners. Guano deposits are very highly regulated in Peru, and they're hand mined for specialty organic uses. So, once again, if resources become scarce, we either find more and they become mm-hmm. economic, or we develop a substitute, or we find ways to use less of it. And in the case of bird guano, that's exactly what we did. We took a non-renewable natural resource, although it's not a mineral, it's an organic mm-hmm. fertilizer, and we found other ways and other means to fertilize our fields and grow more and more food per acre for our burgeoning population.
We did an interview. We did a whole segment, I believe, a year or so ago, maybe 2 years ago, on bird guano. I remember that. And I encourage everybody listening to this, if you're not familiar with the story, go back onto Mickey's website and look it up, because it's really a fascinating story, isn't it, Mickey?
Well, I really think it is, and actually, it's the only resource that I can think that we actually depleted, and we've got very little left. But it's a unique situation. If anybody out there listening can tell me any other commodity that we've run out of in the history of mining on mankind, and we did not find either more. Lower grade, deeper deposits, or we found substitutes, or we recycled, or we found ways to, with technology, to use less of it. You can email me at contact@mercenarygeologist.com.
If they prove themselves right, Mickey, what do they get? A year or two free membership?
Well, the membership is free to begin with, so the subscription. So, if you send me an email, you will get a response from me, unless you're a troll.
Okay, Mickey, let's transition from bird poop to the blue marble. Make the connection here for us, and what do you see possibly taking place down the road?
Well, as a geologist, cornucopian, a basic optimist, I think the blue marble, and I think most of us have seen that blue marble photo from NASA, we live on a beautiful and bountiful planet that I am convinced provides us what we need and want on demand. And if it so happens that we run out of any natural resource, I'm convinced that we're going to mine other celestial bodies in the solar system, mm-hmm. be they asteroids or moons or planets. And at some point during our evolution, I'm convinced that we will migrate to another blue-green planet in the Milky Way that will provide us for whatever we need whenever we want it. It's basic science reason and logic, and the driver of human evolution and progress, and that's basically humankind's overlying philosophy of optimism.
Right? Okay. All right, well, a great way to wrap up the first show of the year, Mickey, an optimistic look at the markets and also optimism on our world and what is going to be taking place in the God knows how many years ahead. Great stuff to kick off the new year, Mickey, and we'll reconnect in a month's time.
All right, thanks a lot, Rob.
That's Mickey Fulp, the Mercenary Geologist. You can find him on the web at mercenarygeologist.com. I'm Robert Graham at Mercenary Musings Radio. Thanks for listening.